Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
We're in a series right now called Imagine That, and it's the power of a transformed mind is the kind of the subtitle, because I like subtitles. And we're talking about the mind, and what we've done so far is we've broken down a few things. The first message that we taught on this, we talked about what is the mind. Now, I don't have time to go back through all these because it's just too much. There's just not enough time. I'll never get through the messages. But that's why they're on the website and available. So we discussed what is the mind. We discussed that. And one of the scriptures that we used to define the mind was in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 23, which says this: "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, that and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless." So what we see here is that the Apostle Paul was given understanding into how a human is built. Okay, this is revelation from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to us. And he was speaking to the Thessalonians, but it was written for us as well. Okay, so don't let that throw you. And what he said is, you are a spirit first, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Now, if I could break it down a little bit more for you, I would put it to you like this. Your spirit is the part of you that's born again. The soul consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Okay, so we're talking about transforming the mind, which means that the soul area is the part of you that we're dealing with. Okay? And it's vital that you understand this part. We talked about this before. But when you're born again, if you go back to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, you can look at it later if you want to write it down. But in 2 Corinthians 5, 21 through, you can bring it on up. We'll just set it right here, Joel. At 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21 talks about that the spirit is the part of you that has changed. Your mind does not change when you get saved. It doesn't change. What changes is your spirit. God gave us this book to let our mind know what took place in our spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, I know that sounds so simple, but truth is simple when it comes from the Lord. Okay, now the last part of you that, and I'm not going to deal with this exactly, but the last part of it is this: you have a body. The body, you could look at it this way, is your earth suit. It's the tent that you live in while you're on the earth. Now, most Christians, now listen to me carefully, I want you to hear this. Most Christians have a mind that is in line with their body than with their spirit. Okay? Now, I could say that about the world, but the world's not even saved. So, of course, their mind is in evil things, in the flesh, in satanic things. Okay? Because Jesus told, I bet the Pharisees loved it when Jesus taught them. You know, have you ever read through the Gospels and go, man, Jesus just land blasted those guys, you know? I just am kind of like, man, get them, Jesus, get them, you know? He'd look at the religious leaders of the day. These are the pastors. These are the temple dudes, you know what I mean? They're the guys that run the temple, and Jesus look at them and go, you're of your father the devil. That's nice, you know? Jesus giving encouraging words to people. You know, sometimes I wonder if we could really handle Jesus' ministry when he walked the earth. You know, have you ever read those scriptures where Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, "You're all whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones." And I've read those things before, and I was like, "Yeah, get him, Jesus." And then I thought, "Wait a minute, what if I would have been one of those guys?" You know, you read the scripture and you go, "Whoa. Man, you were intense, God." And the truth is, he hasn't changed. He's still the same as he ever was, you know? We really have a culture right now in church, and I'm not against being positive and encouraging, but we have a culture that's so coddled that it can't handle anything, you know? And that's a dangerous place to be in because we need to be able to handle truth when it's all nice and comfortable and when it's a rebuke. Amen? We need to be able to handle both. And if you're close to God and you live close to Him, He'll do the most of the rebuking just intimately with you. He won't have to do it publicly or through someone else. Do you know what I mean? So that's great about living in intimacy with Him. But I look at the way he talked to these Pharisees. Now, why would He say that to those religious people? Because those religious people, those religious leaders, He was not hating them. He was not looking at them and going, man, I just got to get these people off the planet. You know what I mean? They're hindering my ministry. They were hindering Jesus' ministry, but that's not what He was thinking. What He's thinking is, these people think they're okay, and I need to jar them to realize that they're not okay. Does that make sense? And so sometimes God will do that. And He was saying, and so in talking about the world, which is what I was saying, and talking about understanding how the world thinks and what they do, they're of their father, the devil. Okay? Now, listen to me carefully here, because I want you to understand this, because there's a lot of confusion sometimes associated with these things. Unless you're born again, God is not your father. Now, God is your creator whether you're saved or not. But God has to be your father in order to go to heaven. Does that make sense? You have to be born into the family. Church membership does not save you. Being good does not save you. Your actions are not what save you. Okay? People say, well, I've been pretty good. Well, I've done humanitarian work. So? What does humanitarian work have to do with how you were born? You know what I mean? That's like saying, you know, I'm gonna be in Shane's family, and how I'm gonna do it is I'm gonna do as many good things as I can for Shane.
I'm scared.
Do you see what I'm saying? How can I be related to Shane unless I'm born from the same parents? I can't be. And no matter how many good things I do for Shane, it will never make me the child of Mick and Mary. Yes, Mary Lou. Mary Lou Jones. Okay? Okay? No matter how much good I do, I can't be their child because I wasn't born to them. Okay? Does that make sense? So I have to be born again. And when that takes place, that's what Jesus is trying to get across to those old religious boys. Look, guys, cool your jets. You're doing all these great things, but your spirit is the problem. Not your external. That's why He said you're whitewashed tombs full of dead men's. Why? What He's saying? You look pretty, but you dead inside. That's exactly that's the modern version. Okay? That's the Sean International version or translation, all right? It's the modern version, all right? So we need to change the way we think to line up with our spirit, okay? That's what needs to take place. And so in order to do that, there's a process that happens. Then we talked about why is understanding the mind so important. We talked about how you think will determine how you see yourself, how you think will determine which direction your life goes, and how you think will determine your peace level. Isaiah chapter 26, you can find it in there. Then we talked about what are you supposed to do with the mind. We are not to conform to the world's way of thinking. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind or our thoughts through the Word of God. Then we left off on last week, and that's where we're going to start here, is where do thoughts come from? And we talked about the fact that thoughts come from the Word of God, okay? And we talked about, Mike actually hit this one pretty good, and so I didn't even bother with it. That was actually 2 weeks ago that I think that you spoke, yeah. And he talked about meditating the Word of God, and we looked at Joshua chapter 1, verses, I think, 1 through 8 is where it is. But God told Joshua, as you go into the promised land, Joshua, meditate in this book day and night. And he said, you'll be strong and of a good courage. You'll be full of faith, and everything you do will prosper. Is what the Lord told Joshua. Now listen, that's a great promise to Joshua. But did you know that we're in a better place than Joshua ever thought he would be? I mean, Joshua wasn't even born again. Did you know that? I'm not saying he didn't get saved, because he lived under the salvation or the redemption that was available to him under the old covenant. But what I'm saying is he never saw Jesus. He never had the Spirit of God within him. He didn't have the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians chapter 5. Joshua didn't have any of that. You know, sometimes I wish I could trade places. I know this sounds bad, but they got to go to war back then. You know what I mean? They got to swing swords and kill evil, you know? So, and in the new covenant, though, we're not fighting flesh and blood. It's just my flesh that wants to do that. You realize that. But in the new covenant, we don't fight flesh and blood. We're in a faith battle against the enemy, and it's a spiritual battle. And much, listen to me, the majority of the spiritual battle that you're going to experience is between your ears. It's a mental battle. It's a mental battle. Thoughts are going to come to you, and feelings attached to those thoughts from different sources, and that's what we're looking at here, that will affect your perspective on your life. And so that's why it's so vital that we renew the mind and that we understand that we're not, you know, we live in a very humanistic society. Did you know that? The longer that evolution is taught, which you know my feelings on that, and the, really the truth on that. We'll get into that more later on. But the more evolution is taught, the more our doctors, our lawyers, our leaders ascribe to a godless world that we somehow, come on, we're floating in the middle of space. And you're telling me that we evolved from some goo? The planet is floating in the middle of nowhere. How did that happen? You know, and they're going to come out with theories. You know, there's already theories about aliens, and aliens are demons, okay? Just so you know, okay? He's the prince of the power of the air, correct? Satan is, okay? So, but they're going to do, these people, they'll be, you can look at all that in Romans 1. It'll explain it to you. But people, the more they give themselves to lies, the less they'll understand about medicine, the less they'll understand about law, the less they'll understand about governing people, come on, the less they'll understand about how to deal with day-to-day life situations. You know why more medications are prescribed for people with mental issues? Because they're taught that the mental issues that they're dealing with are a source of some sort of chemical imbalance in their body or something like that, or something that they've experienced in their life, rather than understanding that there are spiritual forces working against your mind. If you take out the spiritual forces, what does the enemy have? Free reign. He can make you think anything he, you know, he'll, and if you don't have understanding of the Word of God, the enemy will bring a thought to you and you'll go, oh, it was me. No, it wasn't. The devil's roaming the earth. He's got demons. They got a plan. It's working. Come on. He's got TV programs. It's called a program for a reason. It's designed to program the way you think. Okay? It's designed to change the way you think. Well, this is designed to not conform the way you think, but transform the way you think. You know, yesterday I was had my kids weed, and my son is the youngest, so I'm teaching him the most, because the girls know how to continuously move. Okay? So I have my kids weeding the rock beds, you know? And Kylie, my oldest, is 12. Then Taylor's 9, 10. She just turned 10. And Ian's 7. Okay? So Ian, good job, Sean. So, and their birthdays are, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so I'm teaching them how to work. Why? Because I told my son yesterday, he'll work a little bit and he's like, it's hot, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, for 7, you know. I haven't got him consistent yet, but I will. Okay, by the time he's done, if you own a business, you'll want to hire him. I'll just put it to you like that. Okay, because I'll teach him how to work. Because, see, my dad taught me how to work, and then my grandpa taught me how to work. And my grandpa's way of teaching me how to work was a lot harder than my dad's way of teaching me how to work. You know what I mean? You know, Grandpa, it's hot. He'd just kick you in the butt, you know? It's not hot anymore. Okay, I can work, you know? It's just, his favorite saying was, I'll give you a shot in the butt with a square needle. So anyway, that would hurt, you understand? In other words, I'm going to change your motivation, okay? So there's a little bit of that in me. But But my son was, it's hot, you know, it's, you know, all this stuff. I said, son, listen to me. You know, what he really is saying is, I'd rather watch a TV show or play a video game. Well, that none of that's happening until you sweat it out first. Because those things are secondary. Life, responsibility, discipline, character, building a man of God and children of God is first. Then we can go and do things that we kind of like to do that are fun. So they're weeding this rock bed in this back area, and it got out of control because we haven't got to it for a while. And they're pulling the weeds. Well, at first when he was pulling weeds with his sister, he would show every single weed that he pulled out to his older sister. So he'd pull it out, and they'd go, look how big this is, you know. And finally, Kylie looked at him and said, Ian, stop showing me how big the weeds are and keep pulling weeds. Why? And he's doing good for seven, you know what I mean? And so he said to me, he was sitting down in the play set thing we have back there. He's like, it's hot. And I said, Ian, it's not going to get done sitting there saying it's hot. Get back to work. And he's like, well, I don't, you know, he's kind of going, I said, son, no, listen to me. I'm not going to let you be lazy. I'm going to teach you how to work. And people say, well, he's seven. Yeah, he can learn it. If he can sit and debate me, he's ready. Now, one thing my kids have learned, I am one of the greatest debaters in all the world. I'm a preacher. I can talk all day long and wing it from all different directions. You know what I mean? I can start a riot and walk away, and people will wonder who started it, and I'll know who started it, and I'll just leave, and I won't even be around. I've done it before. Okay, I've grown a little bit, so I don't do that as much anymore. But you understand what I'm saying? I know how to argue and how to debate. But he said to me, I said, son, listen, we're not going to grow up to be dependent on someone else and live a life of, oh, I don't feel like going to work today. I don't do that. If I went by what I felt, I mean, where would your life be? You know, I heard one person say, your feelings are a dime a dozen. You know better than to be moved by how you feel. Your feelings change all the time. You know what I mean? You can have emotions varying from great joy in the morning to great sadness in the evening. And I'm not saying those emotions are wrong. I'm just saying they do not dictate to us how we live our lives. So I told him, I said, son, I'm not going to train you to yield to how you feel. You're going to make yourself do what you need to do. My oldest said, she was pulling weeds, and she's like, Dad, my back hurts. I said, yeah, because you don't use those muscles enough. You know what I mean? Some of you think, you're hard. No. I'm teaching you to be used. I'm not crushing them, but I'm developing them to be strong, because you know what I know? See, I work construction. I know that in life, if you don't use your body the way it should, it will get weak, and it's not weak because it can't be strong. It's weak because you haven't used it to get strong. Does that make sense? Your muscles are designed to serve you. God created you correctly. So we need to have our understanding changed, and our thoughts can't just come, which this is a good lead-in, but our thoughts can't just come from how we feel. So let's go over to someplace. How about? Let me review this first. We talked that thoughts come from God's Word. We taught that thoughts can come from angels. We know that Mary appeared to, or an angel, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary when she received the revelation that she would be the mother of Jesus. That's not the norm. The norm is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit within you. Then we talked about the thoughts come from the Holy Spirit. And now I want to talk about that thoughts come from your flesh, okay? Thoughts come from your flesh. No, you know what? I'm sorry. That's not where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to this one first. Thoughts come from Satan. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, if you've been taught there is no Satan, then there's a problem. Because there is one. Jesus taught that Satan was real, okay? So you need to adjust your mind to what the Word of God says in that area and understand that thoughts do come from Satan. And you'll see right here that Paul, the Apostle Paul, believed that thoughts came from Satan. And so we'll see this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 says this. He said this. I'll start in verse 1. He said, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy." Do you know there's a godly jealousy? "For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So all of us are the bride of Christ, whether you're male or female. That always messes with your head, but it's the reality, because Christ is the husband in this relationship, okay? And what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul is he's saying, look, guys, I want to present you as a minister of God, and the work that the graces that God's given me, I want to put into you and develop in you a chasteness, a purity, a holiness, so that when we present you, my work is presented, which the Corinthian church, Paul said, was a part of Paul's work. It was a part of his labor. When that group is presented to the Lord, we present you as a pure, chaste virgin to your husband, okay? To the one that you're going to be in married to for eternity. And that's what Paul was saying here. And then he goes right into this in verse 3. He says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your what? Minds may be what? Corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So where did Satan attack Eve? In the mind. What goes on in your mind? Thoughts. You know, words are images. Images are in your mind. And I've said this before, but it's such a simple illustration. And if you really think about it and apply it, you'll see it. If I say to you the word apple, you don't see the word apple. You picture an apple probably that you like most. There's a few different kinds of apples, right? Okay? There's red apples and green apples. There's yellow apples, right? But whatever is in your mind with the word apple, you'll see that image. Okay? So let's take that thought with this verse here. "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So in other words, Satan brought a thought to Eve's mind. Think about this. God said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but don't eat of this tree, because when you do, you'll die. What image came into Adam and Eve's mind with those words? It was God's image, because it was God's words. Right? Okay, does that make sense? All right, so what happened here? What is Paul, by the Holy Spirit, revealing to us here? That Satan came along and gave a new image to a creation that God had made, that tree. God made that tree. He gave a new picture to what would happen about that tree in their lives. Do you see that? Okay. Come on, stick with me here. This is such a good truth right here. God brought one thought, and they had an image that was correct about that tree in the garden. Satan brought another thought, and as Adam and Eve entertained that thought, they got a new image about the tree that was in the garden. Come on. This is full of God's thoughts. The world around you is full of Satan's thoughts. The images that you're dealing with in your mind either have a derivative, a source. They either come from a source of this or a source of the enemy and the world around you. Make sense? How did Mary end up getting pregnant with Jesus? She got a thought from heaven through an angel. She got that in her mind. She opened her heart to it, and then it produced the move of the Holy Spirit in her life. And that's how she gave birth to the Son of God. Do you see that? So the principle functions the same. Now, I know this sounds very simple, and it is, but in application, sometimes we go, because our natural mind kind of trips over spiritual things. The scripture actually says that the natural mind considers spiritual things foolish. Okay? So you have to make your mind do what you want it to do. Did you know you can control your mind? We'll get into that later. But there are many scriptures where Paul says, think this way. If God told Joshua, who wasn't saved, that he could meditate day and night in the Word of God, and you are saved, can you meditate day and night in the Word of God? It's just you're going to have to decide which of these sources that we're looking at is going to be the main thought process in your mind. You have to shut off the valve one place and open up the valve in another. Okay, I'll put it to you like this. The same place that in your mind where you worry about things is the same place in your mind that you can meditate the Word of God. All right, I'll give you an illustration. There was a lady came one time to a minister. She was in and out of mental institutes because she had given her mind over. And this can happen many ways. Sometimes it's the people's fault. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes people are raised in very abusive homes, different things like that. So there's a lot of different sources as far as how a person got to where they're at. And sometimes we need to know a little bit about that, but mostly we need to know how to get out of where we were. You know what I mean? That's the most important part, okay? Anyway, he came to this minister, and this lady said, she said, my mind is just tortured. I'm just tortured all the time, you know. And she was sharing this with him. And the Lord said to this minister, he said, tell her that she needs to think on my word all day long. And she said, he said that to her. It's interesting. People come for help, and then they fight the help that they get. It's just kind of the nature of the beast, you know what I mean? And he said to her those words. He said, you just need to think on the word all day long. She looked at him and said, that's impossible. Well, we're in trouble. Okay, we got to fix that first before we can do anything else. But the Holy Spirit, out of him, he just said real quick, you're already thinking on something. If you focus, I'm not saying that you shouldn't realize where you're at. Okay? Jesus didn't say, in Mark 11:23, he didn't say, when you come up to a mountain, say the mountain's not there. The mountain's not there, the mountain's not there, the mountain's not there. That's not the mountain. It's not a mountain. What do you have on your mind? Mountain, 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 mountain. He said, say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. He didn't say, deny that the mountain exists. He said, talk to your mountain about God. Don't talk to God about your mountain. Come on. Does that make sense? You have been given the promises of God. You're already thinking about something. The reason why it's so easy for you to think in one area is because you've developed that. It could have been from your mom. You understand what I'm saying? You ever met somebody that worries a lot? Usually they had a parent that worried a lot. And then that parent expressed that a lot. Okay? So how did that happen? It was a developed pattern. They learned how to worry from their parents. That's why the scripture says, train your children up in the way that they should go. Well, if you train them in the wrong way that they should go, they'll still go that way. Does that make sense? So you gotta watch that. And there's no condemnation. Obviously, we're in Christ. But you'll have to change that. And it will take some work. You're going to have to focus on this word and change the way you think. Okay, let's go to one more here. And I think we'll end with this. And then next week we'll get into how to deal with these thoughts and how to really control your mind, because you can control your mind. This fourth or fifth place, I don't remember where I'm at, where thoughts come from, is thoughts will come from your flesh, your body, this part of you. Okay, the word flesh in the scripture is carne, is what it is in the Greek. It's just carne. Have you ever heard of chili con carne? How many like good Mexican food? What is chili con carne? Chili with meat. Okay? Your flesh is meat. Okay? So meathead. You don't want that. Okay? You want spiritual head. We're not after meathead. We're after spiritual head here. Okay? So, I love that. Galatians 5. Okay? Now, I like the way the Amplified says this. But it talks about the desires of the flesh. But you're going to have thoughts that come to your mind from the flesh. It says, verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now we need to realize this. Everybody has flesh, and everybody has to deal with these kinds of desires. Now the desire that you deal with may be different than what others deal with, but it is still a desire of the flesh. As we look at these desires of the flesh, you need to decide that the Lord has your best interest when it comes to these truths. The reason I say this is because these truths are contrary to what your flesh desires. In other words, as long as you are on this earth, your free will always be right in between truth and a lie. Okay? So what we see here is flesh. These are the desires of your flesh. Whether you like it or not, the Bible's right. Make sense? So people say, really? Those are the desires of my flesh? Yep, they're right there. The Holy Spirit revealed them to us. There they are. But what's the desire of you, your spirit? You know, if you read on in this verse, he goes, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. I just can't control myself. That's a lie. If you're born again, you've got God's self-control in you. That's what Mike was doing during the worship time. Look to your spirit, man. He's a champion. It's Christ in you, Galatians 2:20. Christ in you. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you. Okay? So what he's saying here is you have desires that are in the flesh part of you that feed your mind. You don't want to think about those. You want to crucify those. And you have desires that are in you from your spirit that are the Holy Spirit within you, and you want to think about those. Remember we talked about thoughts come from the Holy Spirit too, and from the Word of God. You want to think and meditate on those. You want to sit all day long and go, oh, I am so patient. Look at my patience. I am patient. You know what most people say? I am just not a patient person. Can you believe how bad this traffic is? No. What are they doing? Flesh. Meathead. Do you understand? You got the wrong mind going on up here. It isn't in line with your spirit. It's in line with carnal thinking. And when that happens, you frustrate the grace of God in your life. You stop it. You know, have you ever been in a situation? I'll just pick on marriage because I'm married, so I can. I've been married for 17 years now, so it's, you know. Anyway, contentions happen in relationships, husband and wife, because of being in the flesh and not in the spirit. Because in your mind, you're not thinking patience with your spouse. The enemy's feeding you a different thought. And your emotions are hurt now because they hurt you. Come on. And you have it in your mind that it's one way. You know, some of these things years ago were just taught growing up. You know, like older generations, they were taught, you don't act like that. You act like we had more character then. And what's happened is the nation has gone further and further away from God. And so those things are, you know, years ago they taught people how to shoot a gun in school. That's genius. That's absolutely genius. You know, I took a conceal and carry class, and so I'm legal in 34 states to conceal my weapon and carry it, okay? And that's okay because it's the Second Amendment, right? I'm abiding by the law. Okay, do you know in the state of Utah, the guy who was doing the class, there are two lawyers from Utah, and they did this whole class, a four-hour class I had to go through. But you know in the state of Utah, this guy's child goes to a public school, and I think it was his son who was in fourth grade, and the teacher always had a gun on his ankle concealed and one on his hip. Do you know how many school shootings they've had in Utah? None. Why? Well, because, okay, I'll put it to you like this. 90% of mass shootings have happened in gun-free zones. In fact, I think it's higher than that. Do you want to know why that is? Because that crook is a chicken. That bum is a chicken. He knows if there's a gun there, I'm going to get shot. You know the guy, you don't hear about this on the news. You just hear, we need to make the gun outlawed. You know what I mean? We need to outlaw the gun. That's not what you hear you don't hear the truth about these things, okay? I know I'm getting a little political. It'll be okay with you. Anyway, so the guy who shot in Aurora, Colorado, do you remember that when that Batman movie came out? Do you remember when that came out and that whole thing happened, okay? When that took place, that guy lived in an apartment or his house. I don't know if it was his house or his apartment. There were 10 theaters in his area showing that movie that night. 5 of them were closer than the one he picked. But the one he picked had a sign that said, no weapons allowed. Do you know he had like automatic weapons, Kevlar, I mean, he had a bulletproof vest, all this stuff, okay? He got arrested by a cop with a pistol who wasn't even on duty. He could have annihilated that cop. The cop wasn't even on duty. He gave up as soon as he saw another guy with a gun. Isn't that interesting? You know, that's just how the enemy is. So you better lock and load your weapon and know the Word of God. Your house better have, you know, you better be strapped down here and strapped right here and you understand what I'm spiritually speaking? You understand what I'm talking about? It'd be okay if you did that naturally too, if you protected your house. But if we taught the way we were supposed to teach, if our thinking was right, we'd be okay. We'd be just fine. Amen? So these thoughts are a part of your flesh. And I'm just going to go through these real quick and then we'll stop. I've just got a couple minutes here. But it says this. It says, adultery is just unlawful sexual relations between men and women, single or married. That's all it is. I could give you all the verses. That's a desire of your flesh. Sex is great if you're married. Outside of marriage, not okay. I didn't say that. God said that. How many problems would be avoided in our society today? Come on. Do you know I never worry about sexually transmitted diseases? Ever. I never do. Why? Because I'm only having sex with one person. My wife. She's only having sex with one person. Me. The joy of the Lord is... Okay. So we follow the Word of God and we don't got to worry about this stuff. Well, you're uncool. Yes, and STD free. And enjoying my life. Come on. Now there's mercy. You understand what I'm saying? I don't got to worry about it. I'm in covenant. Woohoo! It's a done deal. Amen. Okay, so fornication, which is the same as adultery, besides all manner of unlawful relations. Now you guys are going to love this, but the Bible deals with it, okay? Especially the teenagers. They'll be like, huh? So, uncleanness is the Greek word, I can't pronounce it. And it says this. Whatever is opposite of purity. Your flesh has a desire for whatever is opposite of purity. And do you know what that is? Sodomy, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, and all other forms of sexual perversion, including like pedophiles and stuff like that. That verse deals with that issue right there. So how smart do you think it is to legalize homosexuality? Think about that. Now, here's the deal, guys, because I want you to think this way because the enemy will try and take this truth and twist it. Do I hate homosexuals? Absolutely not. Hate is of Satan. Love is of God. Come on. So what? People say, well, why would you try? You know, they talk about love is love. No, it's not. You have to have truth to have love. And if you don't have both of them, now, why would God say this? Why would he say this? Because he knows that sin will kill you. And he didn't come to kill you. Jesus came to be killed for you. so that you could live in life and life more abundantly, according to John 10:10. So people say, you hate them, you hate them. Actually, I love them, and you know I do, because I'm willing to say something that makes them mad and have them hate me with the potential that maybe they'll see it and change and be saved. Make sense? Now, if you listen to the news media, they're going to twist love all around, and you won't even know what it is. You won't even know which end is up by the time they're done. Why? They're speaking from the source within them, which is what? The author of confusion. That's why they're confused. Amen? Okay, so what are some of the other ones? Lasciviousness, which has to do with lustful, unchastity, lewdness, wantonness, promoting or partaking in anything that tends to lewd emotions, anything tending to foster sex sin or lust. Boy, he just deals with all the sex sins right away. The fifth one is idolatry, which is image worship. How many think there's image worship today? It's not stone buildings, it's actors and actresses and athletes. Okay. Six is witchcraft. People think, your flesh desires witchcraft? Yes. According to the Bible, it does. That's why you get a new flesh when Jesus comes back. It won't desire witchcraft anymore. But your flesh, you have to stop it. You have to have your mind right. Hatred, your flesh hates. It's bitter dislike or abhorrence, malice. Now, listen, if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, you may have a lot of these under control, and you may think, that's in my flesh, yeah, but if you whoop it real good over and over, eventually it'll go, maybe we should, it'll try and throw a thought to you, and if you've gotten really good at throwing those things down, your flesh will get whipped, and you'll teach it to submit to you. Paul said in Romans, you used to be slaves of righteousness to sin, or slaves of sin unto unrighteousness. Now you're a slave unto God, unto righteousness, talking about your body. You're supposed to tell your body what to do. You know, my body doesn't want to set up church on Saturdays, but I don't listen to my body. My body wants to sit at home and drink, you know, chocolate milk and eat donuts and watch sports and act like I'm actually doing that. You know what I mean? But that's not what I'm going to do. My body is a slave under righteousness. Praise the Lord. Thank God. So hatred, he'll hate. It's a tendency to hold grudges against or be angry with someone. Let it go. Variance, which is dissensions, quarreling, debating, disputes, discord. If you have a lot of fighting in your life, you're probably yielding to this in your flesh. You need to stop that. Okay? Emulations, which is jealousy, striving to excel at the expense of another. It's okay to excel, but rejoice with somebody else who excels too. When you're striving to excel at the expense of another, you're into jealousy. You're not into developing yourself to the best that God has given you the ability to do while rejoicing with somebody else and helping them develop as well. Make sense? Okay, wrath. I think you all pretty much can figure that out. But it's indignation or fierceness. It's turbulent passions. In other words, like rage. If you just have rage, you got flesh issue. Strife, which is fighting, angry words, contentions, a contest for superiority or advantage over someone. Seditions is very simply the idea of, I'm of this group, well, I'm of this group, well, I'm of this. There's a lot of that in the Bible, or I mean in the church today. Heresies has to do, well, if you look at it, you can see it in Acts 5:17. But heresies is one of them. It has to do with like a sect, like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, do you see what I'm saying? They had different heresies that were going on. And it also has to do, and really what it boils down to is the false teachings that were involved in those groups. Okay? That's really what a heresy is. It can divide into other things though. Envyings, how many know what envy is? Okay? It has to do with jealousy. So if you don't rejoice when somebody gets blessed, but you get jealous of them, you got a flesh issue. Murders, do you need an explanation on that one? I hope not. Okay? It actually has to do with hatred. But murder is the idea of taking someone's life unlawfully, okay? Drunkenness, living intoxicated, a slave to the drink, drinking bouts, okay? So you shouldn't be a drunk. Revelings, rioting. How many have seen any rioting lately? Okay? This is interesting. Lasciviousness and boisterous feastings with obscene music and other sinful activities. I wonder if that's going on today. Going to the club. You know what I mean? Going to the honky-tonk. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. If your parties end up in sin, you're doing it wrong. God's not against parties. The Bible says we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb when we return. It's going to be the biggest party ever. It's just there won't be any sin. God's not against having a good time. God's not against rejoicing and all the things that you'd be naturally given to as far as emotion, like in worship. He's not against people, you know, I sit up front, but I can still hear Joel because he's back there, you know, rejoicing. He's not against people going, glory to God, praise God. Yeah, that's not against God. The Bible says, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. He didn't say, whisper to me. You can whisper to him. You understand what I'm saying? But he said, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. That's okay. It's just what you use what you have for. Do you use it for righteousness or do you use it for sin? And we must have our minds renewed to the Bible, to the Word of God, and then we'll have images and we'll have understanding and we'll have thoughts that line up with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And as we do that, then we express those things. Take time this week. Go over go into the next part of Galatians where it's the fruit of the Spirit and take time and think and imagine yourself being patient with your coworkers. Come on. That's practical life, right? Down to day-to-day. You say, what is it? That is spiritual. Imagine yourself loving the child that you have that's just absolutely rebellious and a thorn in your side. Imagine that. Just think about it and meditate it. And when you do, what's happening is your mind is being transformed. Your mind is being transformed. And you're changing the way you think. And then the Holy Spirit can go, see, I want you to say this to them. I want you to do this in this situation. And it will change the situation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, your word corrects us. Your word changes us. Your word transforms the way we think. Lord, we didn't just mark off a box today and, yep, we went to church. We did our duty. No, we heard from your word. So we purpose, on purpose, Lord. Church is not an event. We are the church. So we take these words that have been given to us. We take these scriptures that have been given to us. And as it says in the book of James, where you wrote to us in the book of James, we are doers of the word and not hearers only. And therefore, we'll be blessed in what we do. We'll be blessed because we obey you and it opens the blessing to our lives. Father, we will walk in love. We will walk in peace. We will analyze and mark off and realize and be on our guard against the enemy about the different thoughts and where they're coming from. We'll look down the line and go, okay, is that thought from the Word of God? Is that thought from the Holy Spirit? Is that thought from my flesh? Is that thought from the enemy? Is the enemy trying to twist? And then we'll navigate through that and go, I'll keep this thought and I reject that thought. We'll reject impatience and meditate on patience. We reject, Lord, the desires of the flesh and we meditate on holiness. We see ourselves in your promises. And we know that as we do, our lives, our minds will be transformed. And we thank you for it by the power of the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Use the word this week. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.